This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning. Welcome into the Action Line on this Wednesday morning. And we're going to be talking about heart disease this morning. And we're going to be talking with the two physicians who made a difference in my life. Didn't realize I was having as big of a problem as I was having. In fact, I kept putting it off. I guess that's a stage of denial. And Tom Wallahan, who is my regular physician, was... Were you surprised when I called you that Thursday afternoon, I guess it was?
Yes, I was.
And Tom said, when I said, I'm having some tightness right around my chest, stomach area, and you said, and I'll always remember this, you said, well, come on in right now. It wasn't, let me check and see if we can set up an appointment. It was, I think you need to come in now. And that, evidently, anytime you have that type of situation, quick response is important.
That's exactly right. You want to be there on time and get something done soon. You never, you know, it could be something different, but other than your heart, but you want to check it out.
A little bit later on, we're going to open up the phone lines because some of you may have some similar stories. When I said I was in denial, I had had these feelings on and off, more off than on, for about 6 months. I'd been going into a pretty steady exercise routine and had done this for several years, trying to eat the right food, trying to exercise. But lately, over the past, first half of this year, once in a while you'd have that tightness feeling. But it was only once in a while, so I didn't think about it too much. We were out of town, and that strange feeling started happening every day. And I thought, ooh, I'm in this town where I don't know anybody. And we had flown there, so it wasn't like we could jump in the car and drive home. So when we got home, first person I called was Tom. Is that pretty normal? Do people put things off? I mean, you have some of the signs, and you just ignore them.
Yes, I think a lot of people think, well, it couldn't be me, or I'm in good health, and I can't imagine that it would be anything terribly wrong. And I think as you know, and when you're younger, you can often get away with putting things
off.
Yeah,
I like that. Younger. Now, it was interesting because you did the EKG test right off the bat, and the great news was you said you hadn't had a heart attack, so which made me feel great. And you scheduled me for a stress test. And then there was this x-ray machine that went all around me. Yeah. And the lady was telling me, don't go to sleep. And I said, I don't think I'm going to go to sleep on this one. That was the most uncomfortable table, where you would hold your hands behind you to keep you from moving for about 20 or 30 minutes. But to be sure I didn't go to sleep, she turned a radio on real loud next to me and had it slightly off tune.
Right.
So I did not go to sleep. Then we came over to your office, the lady and I, and you wired me up to a pretty high-tech treadmill. And what happened then?
We did walk you on the treadmill, and I think you exercised really fairly well, but you did have some changes on your EKG, which made me suspicious that you were having problems with your heart. And then they inject you again with that radioisotope and re-scanned your heart, which indeed did show some problems.
And your next question was, who is your cardiologist?
That's right.
And I said, Tom, I've only been to the hospital once in my life, and I was 5 years old then. So I didn't have a cardiologist, but I had heard so many great things about Britt Meaton. I said, he has to be the one. And you set up that meeting.
That's right. I called him right after that.
and
talk to him, and that's when we made that appointment for you to see him.
And we're not talking about down the road. This was, at that point, Friday, and the meeting was Monday at your office.
Right.
And interestingly enough, the so people can have a feel for what was happening and how I think some things were meant to be. We were at the Children's Discovery Center's party that night, the Secret Garden party. It just happened to be at Britt Miatan's house. And walked in, and as soon as I said something to Britt, he said something a doctor has never said. Why don't you take down my cell number and my home phone number? Tom and I have been talking. That had to go through my mind. What if they've been talking about? This must be worse than I thought, because right after I left Tom's office, he gave me a prescription for nitroglycerin, which I'd never had that before either, but you see it on TV all the time. So I thought, man, there's something going on that I don't know about. But so it was that serious, or
well,
it could have been, I guess.
Yes, I think, as I recall, we may have discussed, Tom called me and described in general terms your symptoms, Bart, and I think we may have chatted in a little bit more length at the party that evening, and they certainly sounded pretty classic to me for symptoms that suggested angina, but the fact that the frequency of your symptoms had increased was very worrisome, and when you have that kind of pattern of pain, sometimes the implications are more serious. It may mean that not only is there a partial blockage in one of your arteries, but it might not be a stable, quote-unquote stable blockage. There may be a little clot on it even, and that kind of a condition often is associated with some sort of cardiac problem in the not-too-distant future. And I think that's why I wanted to make sure that if you had any problems over the weekend, you called us immediately and we would react immediately.
So we met with you on Monday. You checked us out, went over what you thought we should do, which was to have a stent, and that would be set up the next morning. And you said if all goes well, you'll probably spend the night here at Middle Tennessee Medical Center and be back to work in a day.
Right.
That didn't happen.
No, that didn't. You never really know for sure what you're going to find when you're getting ready to do an arteriogram on a patient. And based on your symptoms, as we said, we thought there'd be something there. One of your vessels, I couldn't be sure which one, but we had some inkling based on Tom's evaluation. And it turns out that indeed you did have a very tight blockage, but the severity of the blockage, the length of the blockage, and the location of the blockage in your particular artery was such that I didn't feel it was safe to try to treat it with a stent. And I thought that your best option would be to have an operation done to protect you. And I thought that that would hopefully protect you indefinitely if we took that approach.
And so we went in the ambulance to St. Thomas at that point. I had three arteries that had blockage. One of them, I think, was 95%. And that was called the Widowmaker. The Widowmaker. What a happy sound that is.
Right. It's a little bit ominous. We don't try to mention that to patients' families when we send them off or someplace. But, you had the location of your blockage was right at the origin of the left anterior descending coronary artery, which is a vessel that runs down the front of your heart and supplies a substantial amount of heart muscle. And had that area of narrowing closed off completely, historically, a lot of people don't survive that. I mean, they just may even just drop out. So you were very, very fortunate. You were fortunate that you recognized your symptoms to the point where you sought help with Tom. Tom did the right thing, obviously, to get you in right away. And then, you were blessed. You were definitely blessed.
It's so important. If there's something that you can learn from this, and that would be don't wait. I mean, when you have any of these symptoms, don't wait, because in this case, it could have been fatal, just waiting to see what happens, or it'll get better.
Right.
So don't do that.
No, you should not. No, you should not. Yeah, I think a lot of people, as Tom alluded, may have symptoms, and they either don't recognize them for being what they might be, or they just are afraid of having to deal with what the implications are. But the things that we can offer people these days, you know, are so helpful in terms of prolonging life that, to, you know, as you know from your own experience, the recovery from an open heart operation, which is certainly the most aggressive therapy for your particular problem nowadays, is not that great a deal to have to go through, and the end result is that you're going to live a full life.
And I feel great. Yeah. I mean, it took about 2 weeks, I guess, after the operation for me to start feeling really great again. But in that period, I didn't feel horrible. I just wasn't myself.
Right.
So that's another thing. I want to say that the people with Middle Tennessee Medical Center were phenomenal. I mean, everything from the people who were preparing me to go into the surgical suite to the people who were right there doing the technical end of it, because you're aware of all of that, at least for the first part of it, and they talk with you and they make you feel good. It's a nice feeling. And then on the way to Nashville, the paramedics with the Rutherford County Emergency Medical Services, they were phenomenal, had a good conversation. At least I thought it was a good conversation. I question that now that I look back, because I think I was pretty well sedated.
Right.
But once we got to St. Thomas Heart, you couldn't say enough great things about them either. I know once we were prepared to go into the operating room, it was just my family and myself, my wife, my son, my daughter. I think my daughter-in-law was with us, and maybe my son-in-law too. So we were there, and they said, "Now this is the last time you're going to see him before, you know, he's going to look different when he comes back." So my daughter did a little prayer, and what that impressed me the most, when she started praying, everybody in that room, and there was a large number of people, a lot of technicians who had just been going over me like a little bee, they stopped. They came over, touched me, and prayed too. You don't run into that in too many places.
No, I was mentioning to Patty, who's here with the American Heart Association, this morning as we were chatting, waiting for the show, and this institution, MTMC in St. Thomas, their mission statement to me is one of the things that makes it such a pleasure for me to work here. I came from a fairly big community hospital in New Orleans where there was really none of that. And to work in a hospital where every morning there's a prayer that the pastor comes on, or the chaplain comes on and gives over the intercom, I think that sense of godliness, I think particularly in the work that we do, is very, very important. And I think it does kind of permeate the behavior of the people in the hospital. And I think most of the people in the hospital, everybody that I come in contact with in the hospital, I think it influences how they treat patients. And it is a very special place, in my opinion. I really feel very fortunate to be here.
They were very caring at both hospitals. I mean, it was like they were born out of the same mold almost. They couldn't do enough, and then they just made you feel comfortable. They helped my wife, who that was a strange surroundings, and she would get lost. And didn't matter who it was, whether it was one of the nurses, another physician, one of the people doing some maintenance work around there, they would show her how to get around. And they would take the time. So that was very important. And once that all ended, we were set up for some therapy, which we're still going through, at the Wellness Center here in town. And they do a great job, too. I mean, they really go the extra mile to be sure that you're okay. And In going through that, and Britt, you may want to talk about this, everybody seems to be a little different on the level of care that they need. I was fortunate. I went through it, and maybe it was because I'd been exercising before. I seem to have bounced back more quickly than some others.
Sure. There is a big difference in terms of how people who've been through what you've been through are at the end of the surgery. Some people have had the misfortune of actually having had a heart attack before they have surgery or some sort of cardiac intervention. So their physical capabilities are going to be less than what yours were. You were fortunate in the sense that you did not have a heart attack due to Tom's quick action and referral. So the people at the Wellness Center do an excellent job. The cardiac rehab program, we try to encourage everybody that has the means, and most insurance companies do cover that kind of a program after your kind of surgery. We try to encourage all of our patients to get involved. Even from an educational perspective, I think it helps them. The social aspect of having a chance to talk to people who've had similar experiences and to kind of compare notes. And then just the comfort of having supervised exercise for those first several weeks or months after your procedure, I think it's helpful. It's not absolutely mandatory, and certainly some of this you can do at home on your own and derive some of the same benefits. But if you have the motivation and the wherewithal to participate, I think I've not had anybody have a bad experience at the rehab center, the Wellness Center.
And I understand that it greatly increases your opportunities of not having this happen again, which is right. Very, you don't want to go through it a second time. Now, I guess it was a month or so after the operation, I was talking to Tom, and I said, I really feel, like I've been given the opportunity to start over again. I'd obviously eaten, as most Southerners have done over their life, you've eaten the wrong food, too many fried foods, too many pies, things of that sort. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to start over again. All of these problems have been cleared away. Dr. Miaton and the staff at St. Thomas, Dr. Yandel, have moved my arteries around, and they're all clean, and I'm ready to start over again. And then Tom brought me back to reality. What was it you told me at that point? Because I'm saying this because I'm thinking other people may have thought this also.
Yes, I think a lot of people think once they have their arteries fixed that they're cured. Essentially cured. And truth is, I think around 50% of the heart attacks come from arteries that are not 70% blocked. And the real treatment for that, to prevent that, is controlling all of your risk factors. And that's what we talked about. Controlling your weight, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and if you have diabetes, controlling that well, and exercising. And all those things. Well, that's what you do to prevent a heart attack. And your surgery did prevent you from having a heart attack in those arteries that were fixed. But you still, that doesn't mean you don't have atherosclerosis. You still probably have atherosclerosis in your arteries. And what you can do for that is control all of your risk factors.
So you have to change your lifestyle.
That's right.
Change what you're eating. More vegetables, in fact, one of the things I've heard is make it almost an equal portion of fruits and vegetables and not much meat.
That's right.
And if you have meat, it should be more fish and stuff like. And I used to think it was 6 ounces. It's 3 ounces is a serving. And when you go out to a restaurant, how often do you find 3 ounce servings of any meat? I mean, it's big.
Right. Portion size at restaurants are much more than we ever need.
With what you would get, that should last you 3 meals.
That's right.
So that's right. We need to change our way of eating. That must be one of the biggest problems. And Dr. Miaton is shaking his head in agreement.
Well, yeah, it is a problem. The incidence of coronary disease in the U.S. has actually dropped, or at least cardiac mortality has dropped over the last 30 years. And a large part of that, some of it's due to treatment modalities that are now available that weren't available 30 years ago, but a large part of it is due to the recognition of what the risk factors for heart problems are, which include, as Tom said, smoking and high cholesterol, diabetes, and those sorts of things. So with the release of certain medications, statin drugs for cholesterol, the wide public awareness of the need to stop smoking, we've helped make a dent in that to some degree. However, morbid obesity or excess weight is now becoming an epidemic problem in the United States, and we're seeing it even in childhood. So that's going to result in a much higher incidence of diabetes over time, and it stems from the fact that we're not as active physically as we once were as a society, and we eat too much.
We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the weather and the traffic. We'll be back. We'll be talking about the Heart Walk, which is coming up Sunday, October the 30th. We'll also open up the phone line. And if you have been down this road, we'd like to hear from you. And I would imagine that we may have some similar stories to tell. 893-1450, and that's good to know that you're not the lone one on that boat. 893-1450 is our number. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
She was out for a walk, consoled a cup of coffee, but it didn't want to talk, so I picked up the paper. It was more bad news. My heart's being broken, paper being used. Put on my coat in the pouring rain. Saw a movie, it just wasn't the same, 'cause it was happy, or I was sad, and it made me miss you, oh, so bad.
The latest local news, weather, swap and shop, good neighbor events, and more is at your fingertips. WGNSradio.com. WGNS Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is Chuck Clemens. I'm very excited about all the new growth here at Ford of Murfreesboro. I'm glad all my friends are still here. I've been here for 19 years.
Same employees, same great service. Ford of Murfreesboro.
A lot of us have been working in Murfreesboro a long time, and we hope to continue seeing our valuable customers.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Without the caregivers, there would be no way I could have survived this alone. I had gotten to the point where nothing made any difference.
Stay independent at home.
Being old is not a punishment. It's a very significant phase of life.
Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
Check out all the options you have before you make a decision.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
If your oil is leaking and your brakes are squeaking, call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Service you can trust. On Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest service, fair prices.
Good morning, Weatherford County. As you make your way into work this morning, guys, be aware things have started to slow down along I-24, starting in the Laverne area, right around Old Hickory Boulevard, and staying below 70 miles per hour all the way into the downtown area. Also seeing some really slow traffic along 840 eastbound, right at the intersection going over to Highway 70. Don't forget, guys, we do have a couple of spots of construction in that area, so be prepared to slow down there. This traffic report was brought to you by the law office of Bart Durham. Justice is your right. Give them a call, 866-468-6603. With your WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
For this afternoon, a chance for some showers and thunderstorms and a high near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy skies and a low near 63 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Right now, 66.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
It is I, the G-Man, coming to you via AM and FM on the Big G, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450 if you have a story or a question you'd like to share this morning. 893-1450. We're talking about heart disease that also brings in strokes. And we remind you that the Heart Walk, the Rutherford County Heart Walk, Yes, coming up Sunday, October the 30th, so you have plenty of time to get some friends together. Sunday, October 30th, this is going to be on the beautiful campus at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. The activities start at 1 o'clock. The walk begins at 3, and you need to be there. And while we're here, Patty Clements is here. Patty, come on over and tell us a little more about that, and tell us what that is all about. What does it, when people donate at the Heart Walk, what does that money go to?
Well, the money goes to a lot of different causes and a lot of different things that we could not do otherwise, because the American Heart Association's work depends on donations. We're a nonprofit organization, so it goes essentially to medical research, to advance scientific treatment, to let us know what is causing heart disease, what is causing stroke, but also how to treat it and how to prevent it in the first place, which is really important. So it's going to research, it's going to education, it's going to working with hospitals and helping them establish best practices and best guidelines for that really depend on the science that we're coming out with. So they're able to treat their patients in the best manner possible, and a lot of different community health initiatives as well. So, and a lot of that money does come back right here to Middle Tennessee. Right now in Middle Tennessee, we have more than $6 million in active research grants that are being funded through the American Heart Association right here, right
now,
in this area.
I understand that our numbers here in Rutherford County are pretty shocking as far as the number of people who have heart problems as you compare it to other parts of the state and to the nation.
Well, Rutherford County, overall, in a lot of health indicators, is not so bad in Tennessee itself, but certainly has a lot of indicators that need some attention and some work, as do all areas of Tennessee and the South, unfortunately. Our southern states tend to be toward the bottom of the country in a number of really important health measures, such as stroke, such as heart disease, but there's a lot we can do about it. The thing that we're really encouraged about, that all of our latest science is showing, is that up to 80% of cardiovascular disease is preventable through healthy living.
Wow.
80%. And that's a message we really need to get out there. There are things people can be doing about it through the choices they make every single day.
So it's in your hands.
Most of it is in your hands. There's certainly the genetic factor, a hereditary factor to that, but 80% is a huge number, and that is in your control.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Did you?
I guess I'm on, then.
Yes, you're on.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say I saw you the other day on the TV. When you was up there, it looked like you'd lost a lot of weight.
I have.
Yeah. So, well, let me cut that radio down.
There are better ways to lose weight, by the way. But it...
it's been nearly 15 years ago on there. I was 68 years old. I'm 82 now. And I was at work. I was working at the rehab school down there, and I was helping the lady in the dining room clean mm-hmm. the tables off, and I got where I just give out. Mm-hmm. She said, "Mike," said, "you're not going to have a heart attack on me, are you?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm just a little tired." So, but anyway, I went to Dr. Murphy, and told him, he put me on a treadmill, and I lasted about a minute on it. I just give out. So when Dr. Coley, I believe it was, did a teargram on me, and I had a 95% blockage in my main artery. It went across, connected to one that went up. The doctor said, I saw the picture of it, and So I went to Vanderbilt, and they didn't know what they was really going to do, because Dr. Coley come in there, and I asked him, I said, when can I go home? I'm okay right now. I feel good. He said, you fix me just a minute. Which hospital do you want to go to?
He let you know right then.
Yeah. So they loaded me in the ambulance and took me to Vanderbilt, because they said that they didn't know, and so I asked him, I said, well, which is the best doctor? And there's a doctor, Drinkwater. I don't know if them doctors ever heard of him or not. Said he's at Vining, but I said, well, that's where I want to go then. And when I got down there, three of them got together, and they didn't know exactly if it's going to, you know, cut on me or what they were going to do, and then they decided, because he was right at the end of that artery connected to that other one. They told me, said, probably in 3 or 4 months, you might not be here.
Ooh, that got your attention.
That got over into that other one. And so they rotor-rooted me.
Mm-hmm.
What they did. And they said, and I laid there, well, it's 5 hours, and they didn't put me to sleep or nothing, and they said, now, you're going to sound like we're drilling on you. And it did. And so they went in there and ground it up and put 2 stents in it. And that's been about 14 years ago, somewhere along, because I'd had colon cancer about a year before that.
It sounds like you've had some challenges.
I never had even heard anything about the colon, you know, colon cancer. And so I try to tell everybody now, as you get at least 40 years old or something, you ought to go on, especially if you had any people that's had cancer, to get checked out, because you can be fixed. And when my colon cancer, it was still in my colon when I went to back down in Pettermill. Dr. Murphy sent me down there to Dr. Mertz, I believe that's who it was. He said he was one of the best checking, and it was about the size of a silver dollar in there.
Well, I am glad that they got to you quickly.
What I really wanted to tell, too, a little over 5 years ago, I had it hit me. I sat down at the table to fix a book of paper, and felt like somebody just took a knife and went all the way around my stomach.
Hmm.
I mean, it hit me good, and I called my wife. She had gone to work, and I told her I'd headed to the emergency room, because I thought at first I'd had a muscle pull, and I got to the...
What did that turn out to be?
Took me out there, and it's about, I stayed in the emergency room about 6 hours, and they took a x-ray of me and found out it was my teardrown.
Ah, back to the heart again.
Yeah, and it stretched on me, what it did. And but go back to that heart thing, and I was told by the doctor, I asked him, I said, how long does these stents last? And he said, well, it can last forever.
Obviously, but it must be doing it.
All my, everything I have every 6 months, they take my blood and everything on me. I don't have any, I don't have no high, well, I have high blood pressure when I had that other, and I take pills on that, but as far as all the other, my vitals, they take, it's, you know, nearly perfect.
So you have, every time you've had a problem, a symptom, a pain, something that was out of the ordinary, you've sought medical help, and that...
That's straight. I don't mess around.
People need to...
I'm 82 years old, and I go to the doctor, and they take my blood every 6 months and send it off, and it comes back okay. It never has. Beside the high blood pressure, I've always had, all my life, I've given about 4 gallons of blood. I'm fixing to start back giving blood, because I went by the Red Cross, and they said I could, because it'd been so long since I had cancer. And but I'm gonna start back. And if anybody can, it don't hurt you nothing. And they need blood all the time.
Why, absolutely.
I give it all the way. I was in, even when I was in the Navy, I give blood.
And this new the apheresis way of giving blood, you give it comes back into you too, so you don't have that long problem. We have learned so much from your story this morning. Thank you for sharing that. And for people listening, I think the main thing you would have heard there with his conversation is that he took care of things quickly. He didn't wait to see if something would go away. Whenever there was a problem that didn't feel like it normally does, he took care of it right then and there. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450, our final check on the weather, and we'll be back and continue the conversation. 893-1450.
Fill me up.
Thought you knew how to stretch a buck, you got to hear this guy, Clark Howard.
Join me Monday through Saturday middays on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
WeatherEye.
For this afternoon, a chance for some showers and thunderstorms and a high near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy skies and a low near 63 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 66.
Friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta leather sectional. Regular $10.99. They have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you. Weekday mornings at 10 after 8 on the Action Line.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Just my eyes were blue, and I could handle seeing you. If we hadn't come so far, say that one and one make one. Now
welcome back. Dr. Britt Miaton is with us, Dr. Tom Wallahan, and Patty Clements. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking about heart disease and strokes. And the Rutherford County Heart Walk is Sunday, October the 30th. Circle that on your calendar. We're going to be reminding you about that every day until we get to that point. Sunday, October 30th. Whatever you do, don't plan something else that day. A very important day. 893-1450 is our number. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hello, Bart.
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good, I guess. Man, I tell you, I was listening to you when you was in the hospital, and everybody was praying for you and everything else.
Well, that made a difference.
I went through something similar back. I'll try to talk fast because I know you're running short of time. But back in 89, I had a bad car wreck, and I was up there in Buffalo Hospital. And Dr. John's up there, he kind of put me back together and got me going. But on my last operation, they said I had a heart. Didn't do right on the monitor. Mm-hmm. So they sent me to St. Thomas. When I got to work a walk, which was about 30 days, I think. When I got there, well, they took one of them teargram things and told me in 30 days I was going to have a valve, heart valve. And your doctors I might know who worked on me was Dr. Stoney. He's retired now. And so they said that in 30 days said they would put in me a valve and I could wait 30 days and get it, you know. Something mm-hmm. like that you'd rather go and get over with. But
sure.
They said they wanted to give you your own blood, you know, so they'd give it back to you. So Dr. Stoney come out there, and we got talking about valves. And it's an aortic valve, what I got. He said, I said, well, I don't know nothing about valve, what I want or what. So he said that on the aortic valve, if you're young, you don't have to have it no more. You know, you take Coumadin and stuff like that for blood thinners.
Mm-hmm.
But then on a pig valve, this would be a good question for your morning show. What they could use a pig valve, but it'd be 9 to 11 years. You'd have to do it again.
Huh.
You know why, Bart?
Why is that?
That's the life of the pig.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's what Dr.
So the valve is tied to that.
Well, so anyway, I got me one of them aortic valves because I was planning on living longer than that. I was 52 then. I'm about 75 now, 74.
Well, you sound great.
So I have to go now, and I have to watch what I eat, and can't eat too much greens because that makes your blood thick and stuff like that. But I go to Dr. Garner, and he takes care of me pretty good. He does a good job. But anyway, I know somebody else on there, Bart. But anyway, I was in pretty bad shape, and my chest collapsed the steering wheel, and they said that didn't have nothing to do with it. But I told them I'm pretty sure that that didn't help it none.
No, you're right there. Well, I'm glad.
Good talking to you, Bart, and I'm glad you're doing all right.
Well, I'm glad you are, too. Thank you for calling. Oh. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And I think the thing that you're hearing over and over this morning is they did not ignore symptoms. They took care of it. And one thing we have not talked about is the correlation between heart disease and strokes. The two of those seem to be hand in hand. Are they similar, heart disease and strokes?
Well, they're both certainly due to atherosclerosis. And, you know, the same mechanism is there where plaque breaks off and causes stroke in most cases, and blood break off and cause a heart attack in most cases. So they're very similar, and the risk factors are also very similar.
And it seems like one thing that not only this morning, but I'm hearing over and over in all of the broadcasts dealing with your health, and that's stop smoking, eat the right food, and exercise.
Exactly.
How do we miss that? We sometimes miss it, though, because people are not doing those things. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine.
Good.
Well, I'm calling about my mom had a stroke back in 1980. Since then, she's been suffering with vasculitis.
Mm-hmm.
And if she gets a wound, it tends to not heal. And then I found her in the past few days down in her home alone, and she couldn't get up, and she couldn't get to her food or phone or anything, what have you, but I was able to find her and get her to the doctor, and they immediately told me to rush her to the hospital, and I want the audience to pray for my mom, Carol Mosley. She is about to process to have her leg amputated, her right leg, you know, because it got gangrene in it, it wouldn't heal. And then she might lose the other leg, and but that's what I called about, you know, it don't pay for no one to live long, you know. They should always, you know, be able to, where they could call someone to, if they're down and can't get help. But I was able to find her in that condition, and the door was unlocked, and I was able to save her, and that's about it, you know.
You were her guardian angel for sure.
I'm her daughter.
All right. Was she conscious? Was she conscious was she conscious when you arrived?
Yeah, she was conscious, but if I hadn't found her, she'd probably die because it done started stinking real bad in her leg, you know.
Mm. Wow. Well, our prayers are with her.
Coming out of her foot.
Well, I hope she gets to feeling better, and I hope it all works out for her.
I do too, and thank you, and I appreciate your show.
Well, thank you.
Talking about heart disease.
Well, we need people to be aware of this. We seem to overlook it sometimes. Thank you. We thank you for calling. Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. 893-1450. You know, you may not be as fortunate as that lady was to have a daughter who shows up to help you. And again, when you have problems, even if you have to call somebody, call them. Don't wait and see what happens. And so many people just seem to wait to see if it's going to get better.
Right. The other thing I'd say, Bart, is sometimes heart symptoms can present in somewhat atypical ways, and that's more common in women than it is in men. So we're educated to look for chest tightness or heaviness as a classic symptom that, particularly if it comes on with exertion, goes away with rest. But in women, a significant number of women will not have chest tightness. They may present with breathlessness with exertion. They may have back pain or shoulder pain or indigestion-type discomfort. But I think if you're a woman over the age of 40 with multiple risk factors and you start to get winded with activities that you used to do comfortably or have any kind of funny discomfort in your chest or back, you need to let your doctor know, because that's oftentimes a symptom that could be cardiac related that people don't recognize as being so.
So the number of women with heart problems is increases. Has it equaled to the male counterpart yet?
Well, it's women are different, obviously. Hormonally, they're protected from cardiac events to some degree. When until menopause, the incidence of heart problems in women is substantially less than that in men. And when heart problems present, they often present about 10 to 15 years later in women. So when you get beyond menopause into your 50s and 60s, the incidence of heart problems in women begins to approach that in men. It doesn't quite equal it, but it begins to get close to it. So particularly when you're past menopause, if you're a smoker, any kind of symptom of that sort. Unfortunately, I've had in my 4 years here the experience of taking care of several women in their 30s who've had cardiac events. So you're not immune to having cardiac problems before menopause, but it does protect you a little bit.
We're hearing so much about people who have diabetes. And could it lead to heart problems, or are the two together?
Well, diabetes is a huge risk factor for heart problems. And of course, we kind of connected the fact that with the increasing obesity problem in our country, the number of diabetics is going to increase. You're already seeing young kids with diabetes in their young teenage years because of their weight. So it is. In fact, the way I approach diabetics medically, it's considered a cardiac, a coronary artery disease equivalent. And by that, we mean that if you have diabetes but have never been diagnosed with any kind of cardiac problem, your future potential for heart attack is no less than somebody who's been diagnosed with blocked arteries in their heart through angiography. So I put all the diabetics that I come in contact with on statin drugs. I get very aggressive with them in terms of trying to address other potential risk factors for heart trouble.
So the thing to do is quick medical treatment, and the best thing to do is regular checkups. Now, again, we remind you that the Heart Walk is coming up Sunday, October 30th. Sunday, October 30th at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. The activities start at 1 o'clock, and the walk begins at 3 o'clock. Sunday, October 30th. So circle that day on your calendar. And we have about a minute left in the program. Dr. Miatan, Dr. Wallahan, any final thoughts you'd like to share? Any words of encouragement for somebody who's listening right now?
I think that one thing that all these calls bring up is that to see your doctor if you have any questions. I don't mind, people, I think, sometimes are really embarrassed to come in with symptoms that they don't think are much, but sometimes those turn out to be very, very, very important. And I'd much rather see somebody, and it's not their heart, and reassure them than not come in.
Very definitely. Patty, thank you for joining us today, too.
Thank you very much.
And we are very fortunate, and I can tell you this firsthand, to be here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, because the facilities here, the staff who are at the facilities, you couldn't find better people, more talented people who really have your good health at heart, so to speak. So they're here to help you. Thank you all for joining us. Patty Clements visiting with us this morning, Dr. Britt Miatan, and Dr. Tom Wallahan. Have a super rest of the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep that smile on your face. We'll see you also on Sunday, October 30th at Middle Tennessee Medical Center.